All right. Well, we're recording. This is awesome. Thank you for being down to come on the podcast, do this interview in person. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Can you introduce yourself for people who may not be familiar?
My name is Richard De La Vega, and I do vocals for More to Pride.
That's awesome. I think back to those early days of hardcore for me, and my group of friends, we all kind of got into hardcore around the same time, and we kind of fell into this hole of only, you know, going to like certain types of shows. But as we, you know, got to know the bands that we were into, some of us wanted to see what was else was out there, and we discovered, like, you know, more like the traditional, faster stuff. And there was this weird split between me and my friends. Some of them were just like okay with the bands that they discovered up until that point and didn't really care about anything else that was going on or
right.
anything new that was popping up. And I remember wanting to branch out and see like all these other types of hardcore. And I remember just that era of you guys being around and being a band that I wanted to go check out, and not all of our friends wanted to go. So there was like this weird split. And I always think that's interesting because that's just like one like significant point in hardcore where it's like, damn, I could have never like discovered like a band like More to Pride or a label like Rivalry Records
right.
and been like my friends, which is totally fine. Like they still, it's crazy too, because I'm like, you know, so many years later, they're still listening to those same bands, still haven't even like moved forward, which, you know, that's their thing. But for me, it's just like, no, like I never wanted to just stay stuck in that hole. I've always had this crazy love for hardcore. So I wanted to go and explore and, you know, find out what else was going on. It turns out that, like, you know, that, you know, the more heavy stuff, like, it's good, it's awesome, but it's just not my like favorite type of hardcore.
Right.
So like when I discovered like the faster stuff, like the more youthier stuff, like that was the stuff that I fell in love with from like the beginning.
Right Yeah, you know, I understand that, because being from like a punk background, I was used to the faster stuff. And then there was like, you know, and then before that I was like into like Korn and Limp Bizkit and stuff like that. And, you know, Green Day was a kind of an influence for me as far as fast music and shit, you know. So yeah, I get it. And then there's also, you know, the background with the oldies and old school rap from back in the days and all that shit.
And did you always live in this area growing up?
I lived in, I grew up in Compton.
Okay. Yeah. So Southern California, your whole life?
All my life, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy because, you know, I grew up in Southern California too, but it's just like, you know, from where you grew up, from where I grew up, it's like two totally different, you know, places, but it's not that far apart, which always like, it always trips me out because like when I moved from the Palm Springs area, to Orange County when I was 21, it felt like I just like, you know, moved to a whole different world. It was pretty insane.
Right.
And growing up out here in, you know, the Compton area, Linwood, can you talk about how you even came across hardcore?
When I got to high school, I met my our drummer Eddie, or our original drummer.
Okay.
He was already into more into the punk music. So he was like into Final Conflict and Limp Miss Green and all kinds of other shit. And then he was also into hardcore. And he would always listen to like Warzone and Shutdown and One King Down. And by me hanging out with him, he kind of like introduced me to that whole next level of punk and hardcore, and that's how I became involved in all that. And by him, you know, kind of hooking me up with the music, just, you know, this I ended up where I'm at today.
And at what point did you guys decide that you wanted to start the band More to Pride?
We've always wanted to be in bands, like me and our guitar player Jesse. We had our own band, which was called Bases Loaded, and then Eddie had another band. So we were always a band, just not a band together. So his band ended up breaking up, and so did our band. So Jesse played guitar, Eddie played drums, and I played bass. So we were like, hey, let's jam together, since we're like literally like right down the street from each other. So that's how that formed, and it just kind of just you know started little by little, just started progressing as far as being becoming more depressed.
Mm-hmm. And the demo came out in 2003, correct?
2003.
And how long?
2004.
2004, excuse me. And how long did that whole like writing process take and for you guys to actually create and record the demo?
You know what? We already had a couple songs from Mines and Jesse's band. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just moved those over into to the new band. It was a pretty fast process because we already knew what we wanted to play. Eddie was, you know, was the punk dude. He was pretty punked out. Mm-hmm. And he was a drummer, so he was already like already into the punk beats and just blasting through the song like pretty fast. And Jesse was into like the youth crewish type of music, so he already had his like way of playing, and then kind of added like a breakdown here and there, and then yeah, it was just it all worked out because everybody was into the same type of music, and it just clicked. Everybody just clicked, and just boom.
And if you can remember, what were those early days like for Mortar Pride? Like, you guys have a lot of support, or did it take a while for people to catch on to what you guys were doing?
It took some time for people to catch on, especially growing up I grew up in Compton, but then I ended up moving to Linwood. Mm-hmm. And in Linwood, it was like ska, like new metal music, and like metal or death metal, no punk. I mean, yeah, there was definitely punk, but there was just no hardcore. And especially if you're straight edge, it was like, that was like, they were like against you straight up. So they just wasn't like, nah, never gave us a chance, never tried to even try to listen to the music. It wasn't just in Linwood, it was all over the place, like Southgate, Linwood, like Compton and shit like that. So it took a while for people to kind of get used to the whole music that we were trying to play. But yeah, because nobody was really playing hardcore music back in the days when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. I always find that strange when, like, there's no local support, when I feel like you should want to get behind, like, a new band.
Right.
You know, especially trying something new, you know, just give them support, because who knows what that project could grow into, or maybe, you know, that band might not work out, but, you know, with that experience and the support, they can move on and maybe network in the local area and, you know, continue to be in the scene and create bands, because I feel like that's like what you want, right?
Yeah.
It's just to have active members in your scene just constantly doing stuff, because not every band's going to be the biggest band in the world.
Right.
But if they're out there, you know, constantly doing projects and keeping the scene alive, I feel like that's like really important.
Yeah, it was a weird time. I mean, they just didn't accept it, mm-hmm. for some reason, and they just wanted to just listen to it, ska and metal and all that, which is, I had no problem against. I ended up going to those backyard shows and all that, and I had a blast. But
yeah, yeah. I have friends, and I've even witnessed bands that aren't even like that I have no relationship with that will, you know, not get any like local support just because it's new. People might not understand it, or maybe they're just haters and they don't want to see it succeed. But when they travel out and then they start to generate, you know, hype in other places, then I feel like the, like, you know, local scene will feel that like it's okay to support it, because it's actually something good, and, you know, they don't have to take a chance and maybe look stupid if the band doesn't pop off or whatever, which is crazy to me, because I like I said, I feel like if it's in your local scene, you should, you know, want to support it, unless you don't like the person, you guys have like legit beef or something.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, you know, some young kids coming up in your area, you should, you know, try everything in your power to, you know, repost a flyer,
right,
roll out to a show, you know, tell some friends about it, because it may not be for you, but it might be for somebody else. You know?
Right. When you say that it's like local support, like, and then you know, venturing out somewhere else. Once we started playing shows out of Linwood and, you know, Compton and Southgate and all that, we were playing like in Downey and Winter, which is not too far from each other, but we got way more support from, you know, those cities, because they were already into hardcore, but not really into the hardcore that we were playing. They were like into like like metalcore or like, you know, just like Throwdown and shit like that, which is cool. I like Throwdown, but they were into that type of music, and for them to hear what we were playing, they were like kind of blown away by it.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It was like, oh shit, we got way more support here than we did back in our own city.
Yeah, which is like crazy, because like you said, it's not that far apart, but I'm happy that you guys were able to travel out and even not that far and get that kind of support, because like my earliest memories of you guys, like I remember like you guys being really popular and other bands like Dynasty, Seven Front War, right. Like It or Not. I remember like those being like the bands that were like always like playing like the shows that I wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. So like it's crazy to me to hear after all these years that like, you know, that's where you guys were getting like, you know, your like support from in the beginning.
Yeah. It was cool. Real cool.
And it's very surprising to hear that now too, because you guys repped Linwood so hard, but to not to have that support in the beginning, I'm surprised that I'm happy that you guys didn't have any ill will towards the area you guys came from.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. we just we were all about our city, so we were like Linwood all day, every day, you know. That's where we're coming from. That's where we represent. Cause and then also back in the days, everybody was like, you know, there was L.A. Like, if you were a band from L.A., you just said, oh, okay, we're from L.A. Mm-hmm. And we're like, man, one day we're like, man, fuck that. Everybody says they're from L.A. We're gonna say we're from Linwood, and we're gonna just roll with it. And they're working out, because now when you say Linwood, they're like, oh shit, yeah, Mortar Pride's from right there or something.
No, just straight up. Like for me, when I hear Linwood, or when I'm driving down the freeway and I see the sign for Linwood, Mortar Pride's the first thing that always comes to mind, which is awesome. You know, yeah. I feel like you guys did a great job of kind of leaving that mark on people like me.
Right.
And I'm surprised too, because has there been any other hardcore band since you guys that have like came out of Linwood that has repped it that hard, that has had like any kind of success? Like,
Not that I know of.
Yeah, me, which I'm surprised, because like for as hard as you guys repped it, I felt like you guys had like inspired like some kids, from right. the area. But
well, like our homies from Jackknife, they're from Linwood.
Okay.
Well, some of the members, let me back up. So when they first started the band, the whole band was from Linwood, so that's where they came from, and they now they have new guys in there, which. They're from all over the place, but they still rep Linwood, just like we did. And, mm-hmm. and shout out to Jackknife.
They're
big time homies of ours.
Okay. And yeah, you guys used to shout out the Linwood crew back in the day. And, back then, I was so young, I thought it was like an actual crew. Because, with crews and all that, right. I was like, oh, dang, there's a Linwood crew. That's wild.
Right. That was just a bunch of our homies, and I don't know how the crew thing started. It was always Linwood, and then we just roll up with a bunch of people, and we just like somebody probably said the Linwood crew or some shit like that, and then that's how it just took off from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the demo's out. You guys are getting support. You guys are playing more shows. How did you link up with Rivalry Records?
We went like a West Coast little run with our homies from Make Move.
Okay, shout out Make Move.
And we were playing as we were getting to San Francisco, and then once we got to San Francisco, we played what's that? Gilman?
Okay.
Played Gilman. So Kyle was right there, the dude from Rival. We played our set, and then after the show, he's like, "Hey man, I really dig you guys' sound. You guys have a lot of energy, and your performance is pretty badass." So and he was like, "Oh, I want to, would you guys be interested in getting on the label?" Mm-hmm. And we're like, "What the fuck? Hell yeah, shit!" So that's how that became about. He was at the show, checked us out, and enjoyed our set and put us on.
And at that point for the band, did you guys like have any aspirations to be on a label? Were you guys even thinking about anything like that at that point?
Yeah, we had a homie that had a small label called Straight On Records.
Okay.
We were gonna get on with him, but once Rival came up to the play, we were like, yeah, we're gonna go with these guys.
For sure. Was he understanding? I'm sure he had
it. He was a little pissed off, but okay, there was no contest. No contest.
Yeah, I don't blame you guys, because I feel like your sound and that label just like went together like perfectly.
Right. Yeah, he had a lot of good bands on there, like the Physical Challenge and the First Step was like
the First
was,
Step.
Right, yeah. It was like us on First Step, and then the Allegiance, and one of my favorite bands from there was Killing the Dream. They were really dope.
Yeah.
So being on the label with all those bands, and there's more bands that were on that label, it was a life's experience, I guess, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a good feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if you look at the history of the label, and I feel like they're, I don't know if they're like way more selective or just not wanting to be as busy, but they'll still pop up and put out bands from time to time, and they still know how to pick bands that have like that rivalry sound, which I'm still like impressed with, because I obviously there's labels, when you think of them you think of a very specific sound, and I feel like they're one of those labels, and I think it's awesome that they're able to still curate that sound like so many years later.
Right, it was a good label. I don't think they're not around no more.
I think the more recent ones they put out that band Change. I think they did a collab. They like
Rival. No, I don't think they're not releasing anything no more.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Change is on. I think they're on Indecision.
That's like a newer thing. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't. Maybe. What was that band before Change? Betrayed.
Oh yeah, Shadow Betrayed. Yeah, they're on Rivalry. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe it was that bad. I don't think it was Change though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. But for the record, so you link up with Rivalry Records. Can you talk about what you guys' feelings were like, if you can remember, because it's so long ago? But wanting or linking up with them and then having to create the LP.
So linking up with them. It was cool. Kyle was a real cool guy. He helped us out a lot. He, put out a record, and then he helped us get a tour van, and mm-hmm. kind of shot us some money for that. And he was just like real supportive all the way. And he was a real cool guy. I'm still in contact with him, so I hit him up every once in a while just to say what's up.
That's awesome.
And then as far as a full length, we already had like all of our demo songs that we had. We just moved them over. Oh shit, I didn't even have to forget. We moved them over to our 7-inch, and then we made like 2, maybe 3 more songs. So it was kind of like an easy process for it, because the songs were already locked in, and then we just added 3 more in. And we didn't have to be like struggling about trying to make more music than what we already had.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys, I read you guys recorded at Castle Ultimate.
Yeah.
North. Which are they still around? Because I remember like that was like the spot. Like even like talking to my friends who were like just like starting their first bands. Like their goal was to like go up there and record. And like back then, I didn't understand. Like I didn't even know there was like destinations for like recording studios that people wanted to go and record it.
Right.
Now you just go like to the closest one and figure it out.
Yeah. that's what I thought too. Mm. But I think I've heard that they're still open.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, I don't really know too much about it though.
And how did you guys end up going all the way up north to record the record and not anywhere down south?
Well, Kyle's the one who set that up. So.
Oh, okay, for sure.
Yeah. So he was like, hey, we got this spot. You guys come up. You guys, it was like a three day session. Mm-hmm. So he let us stay at his pad while we did the whole recording, and it was pretty cool. Real cool. It was a good experience, and it was just a blast being like, we had six some of our homies up there too, so it was just cool being able to hang out up there and explore, and then we had homies that stayed up there too, so we would kind of go hang out with them right after and mm-hmm. fuck around over there.
And had you ever been up there before, like before the recording?
No. I've done, to be honest with you, before I got in the band, the only place I've been to was Mexico.
Okay, for sure.
I've never been out of California other than that. So being in Mortal Pride took me to places I've never mm-hmm. thought, you know, or even think of visiting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hardcore is in that for me too, man. Like the places that I travel, like, you know, all like the different places that I go to in Pennsylvania, it's all because of hardcore. When I go to Florida, it's because of hardcore. So I'm in the same boat. Like before getting into hardcore, like I never traveled anywhere.
Yeah. yeah. It was real cool.
Okay. And for that first record, can you talk about your favorite song off of it?
Favorite song? It has to be the your whack.
Okay.
It says, yeah, you fucked up now, bitch. You fucking man. I don't know. I just like the singing through the song, and then also the way it came out. It's just like a pretty meaningful song, and the way the song sounds, it's just hard. It just goes kind of hard all the way through, and it's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, one thing that I really like is, like, you know, we're about, what, like, almost, like, 18 years later from that record coming out.
Uh-huh.
And I honestly feel like it still holds up. Because, right. like, there's a ton of hardcore from that year, that era, that I used to listen to because I thought it was, like, the best thing. But obviously, being involved for, like, so many years and kind of, like, refining my taste and just understanding, like, you know, what hardcore music actually is. When I listen to that record, I'm just like, yes, this is amazing that this shit is still so good, you know, so many years later. Because you think, you know, 18 years, that's a long time. So many records have, like, you know, been put out. So many bands have come and gone. There's been so many, like, you know, different eras of hardcore. But, like, when I listen to that record, I'm just like, yes, this shit is still really good 18 years later.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I pop it in and I'm like, man, this shit sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, no, you guys did a really good job. Like when you're like putting these things out, right? Because you guys, like, you know, put like the demo on cassette,
right?
And did you like ever try to like preserve that history? Do you like, all right, like I put this out, like I want to, you know, at least have like one piece of it going forward, you know, just for your own, like, you know, collection.
Like putting it out again, probably something like that. Or
no, just like do you have like a copy of like the cassette tape?
Oh, you know what, man, I don't. Okay. I wish I did. I was like, not back then. I was just like, oh yeah, put it to the side. I'll get it later.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wish I would have saved everything that I've you know, that we put out back in the days, because it's just, you know, memorable shit that
mm-hmm.
I just know that I'm not gonna get back anymore.
Yeah, because I think back about, like, you know, like test presses and stuff. Because, you know, like, those are like for members of the band, really right. close homies, whatever.
I do have my test press.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, so I got my test press.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome.
Everything else, like old shirts are, a design from all the designs that we had. I don't have none of that nowhere. It's like,
okay.
And I look back on some of the shirts that we had. I'm like, man, that was a sick ass shirt.
Yeah, I have a buddy. His name's Dylan. He runs Takedown Records. And he used to sing for this band called Shackled, and we did a collab shirt, you know, a couple of years ago at FYA in Florida. And he hit me up. He was like, "Hey, like, can I have one of the shirts? Because I, you know, collect everything that Shackled's ever put out, just so when it's all said and done, I can like look back and see everything." And I was like, "Oh, that's actually really smart to want to collect everything, because like I've done collab shirts where, like, you know, like we sold out." Or I, you know, gave it to the band and like, here, this is like your responsibility now.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm done. And there's like things that I wish I would have kept. And this was only like a couple of years ago. So I'm like, damn, I should have, you know, been more like forward thinking like Dylan and like saved some shit. Because there's like cool designs that, like, you know, like I put money into.
Right, right.
And that came out really awesome that kids are, you know, stoked on. But I just, you know.
Right. You know this. You know it's funny. My I had a lot of hardcore shirts, like No Warning, like old, like from, you know. So when they first came out, you know, I had one of their first shirts, and then there was like Warzone, a lot of Locking Out shirts, and I'm like, I had them stashed and I had them put away. My mom, she cleaned out the area that I had everything put away, and she threw all that shit out.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, man. She was like, well, I didn't know it was been there for so long. I didn't know you wanted it. I was like, man. And I guess something about Righteous, like a Righteous, I posted a picture with the Righteous Jam shirt on, and they're like, man, that Righteous Jam shirt is going for like so much money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. It's a trip. Like, how much, you know, keeping a shirt from way back in the days is still meaningful to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a shirt, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you think, like, for anybody who knows how a t-shirt gets made, like, you know, like it's not that crazy, and it's really cheap to make a shirt. But I remember when, I can't remember what year it was, but I remember Rival Mob played Sand and Fury, and before that fest, like, people were like flipping their merch online because like they were so like, you know, popular at the time.
Right.
So like at that Sound and Fury, they were limiting like one shirt per customer, so their line was just so fucking long. And I was yeah. And like the shirt was like, I think it was like a gray shirt with like a jaguar on it that said like the Rival Mob, and like I was like, damn it, like I really want a shirt, but like I can't, you know, miss this band. Do you need to take that?
Yeah, if I can.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We can just hit pause and.
Okay. Yo, what's up, man? Hello? Oh, shit. My bad, man.
No, you're all right, you're all
right. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hi, what's the code?
7328.
Okay, we will be in the restroom, and then we'll be over here on the side waiting for you.
All right.
What is it again?
7328.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right. For sure. But yeah, just talking about the Rival Mob, like the lines were just so long, and it was like, and at that time I was like, okay, like I'll just take my chance, I'm gonna go see the band that I want to see, and hopefully the shirt's available right afterwards. But it was so crazy that it sold out, so by the time I got back I wasn't able to get one.
And just even thinking about standing in that line is like, no, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy because like I like merch, obviously, like I'm always wearing like some sort of like hardcore, you know, right, piece of merch. But yeah, I have to draw the line. Like, I'm not gonna wait, you know, like hours just to get a t-shirt. It's just
right. You know. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. but you know, it helps the band out, and you must gotta love the band that much to, you know, say fuck it, I'm gonna stand in this line and get that shit.
And yeah, that's crazy that your mom just threw away everything that was just stashed away.
It was really like, fuck, it was like heartbreaking. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, luckily, like, my mom's like a hoarder, so like, so I have like a, like, I still have like a bunch of like clothes at my parents' house, but I have like this like bin where I'm like, hey, these are all my, like, you know, rare shirts in my eyes, shirts that like I don't even want to wear anymore because I like them so much. So like, you know, like, you know, whatever. In my mind, I picture like 20 years down the road when I bust it out, people will be like freaking out. But
right,
it's not that serious. But it's, yeah, it's stuff that like, you know, like I'm a huge fan of the band Fury. They're from Orange County, so I just have like a bunch of like, you know, Fury shirts that I think are really cool that I just want to save. Especially now these days because they're not like super active, even though they're about to put out like a new record. They're playing Sound and Fury. But like outside of that, they're doing like international stuff, but they just don't really play locally a whole lot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they were, I know they were, I haven't heard too much about them being on shows, but like a couple of years ago, before the pandemic, they were like playing a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and I am curious because, you know, obviously there was a point where you guys decided to hang it up.
Yeah.
And I was always surprised just because, every time I saw you guys, like, the reactions were always great. Anytime I heard anybody talking about you guys, it was always, like, you know, just positive stuff. So I am just curious, like, so many years later, like, why did you guys decide to hang it up?
I guess, you know, we had to start working, and that became more of a priority. And and then, you know, kind of with a... It's just like, you know, band bullshit too, and that kind of had a part in it, but it was just mostly we started getting older, and you know, our parents were like, you gotta get a fucking job, you gotta start working, and that kind of took over of more of our focus than rather than being a band. And then our bass player Raymond, he ended up moving up north to go to college up there.
Okay.
And then Jesse, our guitar player, he ended up moving up to San Francisco with his chick, so that kind of also just
it made it a little bit harder
yeah
the distance.
yeah
You know what I heard, and I don't know how truthful this is, but back in the day, like, I used to ask around, like, hey, like, what happened to Mortar Pride? And like, the one thing that I always heard was that, like, the band, you guys all turned to like raver kids and just disappeared. Is there any truth to that?
You know what? That's not why it happened. But you know, once I, you know, I was start. I had n not been going to the shows for a while, so I ended up. Yeah, I started hitting up raves and shit like that. Started partying it. Yeah. So yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, because I like my mind was like blown, because like, you know, like I'm familiar with EDM, you know, I
Right.
listen to, you know, like a very little of it, like I'm not like super into it, but when I heard that, I'm like, there's no way that like that band turned into a bunch of raver kids.
No, not the band, just mostly my just mostly me. Yeah. My bad,
No,
bro.
you're all good, you're all good. Do your thing.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What is it?
7328.
7328?
Yes.
Baby.
I'm gonna go open the door
Yeah,
for
go
her.
ahead.
Okay. I'm gonna go open
We
it.
already got it. Thank you. We already got it. We already got it.
My wife, man.
It's all good.
Yeah, it wasn't really the whole band. It was just me. I ended up meeting up with some homies from Linwood, and he's like this older he was this older dude, and he was like from the old school, like 90s, when the rave was starting to kind of become a big thing. So he was like a old school dude that used to go to raves, and but if you were seeing him, he's like this, he looks like this mean ass gangster fool, but he's just the friendliest motherfucker you could have ever met. So I ended up hanging out with him. He's like, "Hey, let's roll up." And I at first I was like, "Nah, it's not really my thing, you know." And then he's like, "Come on, man, we'll fucking get in there and fucking have a good time." I was like, "All right, then." Next thing you know, we fucking went up there, and then it was just a cool thing, because you know, I was, it was just a different environment, something it's way different than the hardcore scene. Because when I was in the hardcore scene, I was like strictly hardcore only, you know. I didn't really listen to a lot of other music, so when he brought me to the party, he what's
Okay, play a game over there.
okay, I'll see you over there. Okay. So he brought me to the party, and then I was like, you know, this is actually pretty cool. I had a lot of fun, and it was a good experience. That's how I met my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay, so
yeah.
that's awesome. And how long did you like dabble in that?
I did that for like a good 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty hard party, that's for sure.
Yeah, the few that I've been to, because I have a buddy from Hawaii, he comes down, and we're like really into K-pop, right?
Oh,
So
okay.
like we'll go to like K-pop concerts, but he always will try to like squeeze in a rave in between. He'd be like, hey, like there's this club like down the street in Orange County, like you want to go? And I'm like,
Right.
I've never heard of this shit. So I was like, I'm down, just because like, you know, you traveled in from Hawaii, like I'm off, it's not that big of a
Right.
deal, like I'll go, you know, try something new, right?
Make the best of it.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that I'm always surprised about is that when we're in those like rave environments, is that everyone's so nice.
Right.
Like I don't know what it is. It almost feels fake, because it just seems like they're just like overly nice.
Right,
And I'm
right.
like, this is so strange, but I like it. Like
Right.
I hope it's real. But yeah, I've never had anybody, you know, like look at me like crazy or try to start shit. Everybody's just been like, hey, are you okay? Do you want something to drink? What kind of drugs do you want to do tonight? And I'm just like, oh, none tonight. Yeah. But thank you. And but like, yeah, like everybody's just so friendly. It's crazy. Right. Like out of any show that I've ever been to, just like that group of people, like it's just crazy to me. But cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I guess, you know, everybody's on the happy pills, so everybody's like, you know, trying to spread the good vibes and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a cool environment to be in.
And the homie that invited you to that stuff, is he still around? You guys still cool?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. He still stays out in Linwood, and he's just more laid back now. Mm-hmm. He's the homie Peanut. Shout out to my homie Peanut, Linwood.
And those years that you know, Mortar Pride was gone, were you ever curious about, you know, staying involved in hardcore or just being around?
Yeah, you know what, I was still listening to hardcore music. Mm-hmm. I was going to shows, not as much as I did before, mm-hmm, before, but I would go to probably when Cro-Mags would play out. Was it Cro-Mags? I don't know. I remember I would go see a bunch of bands that I still was like really into. So when they would play, I'd go check them out. And I wasn't really there for the whole like process of new bands coming in, because I didn't pay attention to the new music that was coming out. But still having love for hardcore and all that, it was always in me still. And then we did try to like make the band work, but everybody was just kind of like on their own fucking way of living. So it just never really came about.
Yeah, so I feel like it can be hard when you lose that momentum, mm-hmm, right? Because especially you guys being so well known, and you know, putting that record to step away, but then to try to come back, you know, to do it again, it can be hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess we did have support, but it was just within the band that, you know, it just wasn't working out. You know? Yeah. When we tried to get it back going.
Yeah, and I feel like that's hard if like those personal relationships aren't there. It's hard to do something like a band.
Yeah.
Cause I've, you know, I've known people in tons of different bands, and to know sometimes when it's just like, you know, like they'll hate each other, but like the band's like so well established, they'll put it aside for like, you know, that 30, 45 minutes, right, just to do the band. But then I feel like at a certain point that starts to bleed through, and it just never really works out.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I've heard that happening. Yeah.
Okay. And so the band goes away, you know, for like pretty significant amount of time, right? Like 8 or 9 years?
2007 was probably like our one of our last shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you guys know it was going to be your last show, or was it like one of those things
that
popped up?
Yeah, we kind of, it just wasn't like, it just wasn't really like happening. Because we already had like Broken Edge, so we're like kind of like more, we're partying a lot more and, you know, getting a little wasted, and that kind of got our focus more than trying to be in a band.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, with the whole having to work and, you know, everybody going their kind of their own way, we just knew that we couldn't continue it like we wanted to.
Yeah. And I can respect that too, because there's bands who, I don't know if they don't realize that they should probably hang it up and it's their time to go.
Right, right.
So they're like, you know, trying to make it work, which I can also respect too. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, it kind of tarnishes the band's like, you know, legacy, and then it's just like they start putting out music that's, you know, not up to the standard that they once were.
And
and I feel like that's worse. And sometimes it's better off just to, you know, call it quits and leave on, you know, like a good note, and have everybody remember you guys, like, you know, for like the good portion of like the career, versus like if you stick around for too long, you start putting out crap and people start to, you know, disrespect, and you guys turn into a joke, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's funny that you say that, because Jesse, he's always said something like that. He's like, nah, like after we broke up, we try to do it like a couple years later, and he's like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, we established ourselves, and we still have a good name behind the band, mm-hmm. and I don't want to just go and, you know, not be so serious about the band and kind of just drag the name through the mud and just ruin what we already have ourselves established as. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just reminded me of what he said. So yeah.
And do you remember where you're at when you guys got asked to play that Sound and Fury? Because I feel like that is like something really cool. You know, 2017, uh-huh. you guys are on Sound and Fury, and for a band like Mortar Pride to get asked to play that, I thought that was really awesome. Because mm-hmm. even like when you look back at like the older Sound and Fury lineups, right? Like, you know, 2006 to yeah. like 2009, I feel like, you know, that's like, you know, where you guys belong.
Right, right.
So to see you guys to just, you know, come back and that be like, you know, like you're kind of like, you know, kick off to you guys like, you know, doing things again. I felt like that was like really awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we just to kind of throw out there, we played For the Children in 2014. I don't know if you remember that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of our first times being playing together as a band since 2007. Mm-hmm. And then that was, you know, we just played that show, and then from 2014 to 2017, I think Martin hit us up, and he was like, hey, we want you guys to play. And then I shot the idea to Jesse, and he was just like, man, that's a really good show, but I don't know, man, people are not really gonna be into us. Like, he was having doubts. Because it was such a big event, and mm-hmm. he knew what Sound and Fury, you know, brought to the table, and he didn't want us to kind of like bomb and just not have a good response or shit like that. But it was we ended up playing, and it ended up working out pretty good. But as far as like thinking about being a band after that, no, it was just like, just play that show, and we just kind of like just kept it how we always had, just like you know, keep it neutral, and then mm-hmm. and if another show would pop up, we'll play it, but never, it was never really any talks about trying to get the band together and getting it going all over again.
Really? What was it like the following year when you guys got asked to play that Nature's World night out?
Same thing. It was like you guys want to play? He was like, yeah, we'll play, because he saw that Sound and Fury, we did good at Sound and Fury, so he was like, fuck it, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then, but still, it was like, nah, we're like, nothing as far as being a band was in the talks or nothing like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because
I always wanted to. But you know, I get Jesse's point. He always like, he's like, he doesn't want to tarnish the name, and you know,
and to devote, you know, time again, right?
Because obviously, right.
I'm sure at that point you guys are all at different places in your life.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So to have to carve out time to do a band, that, you know, it takes some work.
Right, right, right. I mean, everybody already had, like, you know, past their prime of partying and, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, getting wild and out and shit. So everybody was kind of more like calm, and, you know, we could have probably done it, but it was just still we're just gonna leave it where we're at.
And after Nature's World night out, at what point did you guys have that conversation? Like, hey, like, let's try to do this again.
I guess we had played the For the Children, and I think it was like the year before. Mm-hmm. I forget, it was like 2021 or something like that. I can't remember. It was at the Echo. No, not the Echoplex or whatever.
Okay.
So we played that show, and then that was a really cool show. And then we played the show in November at the Midnight Hour with the Wise and mm-hmm. Major Pain. And then that's when we're like, we already had talks like, man, we keep on getting, you know, hit up to play shows, but we're kind of tired of like playing our old songs. Like Jesse was like, and the band, like Seth and Raymond, were like, if the Midnight Hour gets a good response for us and everything works out and, you know, and all that, I'm down. Let's talk about trying to make some new music and, you know, just kind of get it going again. Because it was just like, if we get hit up to play another show, like we just didn't want to play our old songs no more.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, maybe people like our old songs, but we were already like, kind of like over it a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you've been playing those songs since early 2000s.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, that's how like it came about. Once that show happened at the Midnight Hour, we were like, fuck it, let's do it. Fucking came in, wrote these two songs. Well, we wrote our first song, Manipulator. That's a new song, Destination Unknown. That's a song from 2005, 2006. That was an old song, and we just brought it back because we just loved it so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And was there any pressure you guys felt? Because I feel like to kind of put it all on this one show, and if it does well or not. Because the people attending the show, they don't know this. Like, you know, right. This is gonna kind of determine the fate of Mortar Pride going forward. I think that's crazy.
Right. Yeah, it was so much pressure because we weren't even a band, permanent band. So it wasn't so much pressure. It was just like, let's roll with it and see how it goes. And if it goes good, then fuck it, we'll do it. If not, then that's it. It's not like we were a serious band to begin with.
Yeah, like I was happy with seeing you guys just popping up every now and then. Just because for me, like I said, like I was such a fan back then when you guys were like, you know, super active. So to fast forward to now, where there is like this whole new generation of kids who may have never seen Mortar Pride, you know, who may have heard your record and, you know, probably never thought that they would get the chance to see you guys live. So for you guys to come back and do stuff, I think it's really awesome. And I think it's cool too, because like I said, like that record still holds up to this day. The, you know, two songs that you guys just put out with War Records, I think are awesome.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Okay, and can you talk about your relationship with War Records, how you guys landed there? Like, because you said you still keep in contact with the guy from Rivalry Records or whatever, any talk of maybe going through them? Or
no, you know, well, they're not even a label no more. So they kind of hung it up. So we already know that was like a no-go. Mm-hmm. And then with War Records, we already knew Andrew from Strife.
Yeah.
So I had another band going on. It was called Evil Ways. And we played a show with Berthold City, and that's how we ended up linking up with Andrew, through Berthold City, because John from Allegiance, the singer, he plays bass or guitar. I think he plays bass. Mm-hmm. So through John, we were able to link up with Andrew because you know, Andrew's a singer and all that.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just kind of. Every time we saw each other, we're like, "Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?" Kind of just chopped it up, and he was always a cool dude. Like, you know, like every time you said what's up to him, he would kind of hang out with you and all that, which was cool because, fuck, man, Strife, definitely, big inspiration. So for me to even be able to have a chance to even be next to Andrew and shit, you know, I was like, fuck, kind of starstruck. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And recently you guys announced that you're actually playing a show with Strife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Right. I know. That is really cool. Like all the homies from them were like all the old school homies. They tripped out like, "What the fuck? No way, man. You're going to fucking play with Strife and all this shit."
Mm-hmm. And it's at a really cool venue too. I don't know if you've had a chance to go there yet.
The locker room, I'm not sure which one is. I I know it's right next to the Garden App or something like that.
Yeah. It's like this real, like, intimate. It probably holds like maybe like 150, 200 people.
It's like right next to it, right? It's like a small room.
Like
when the Garden App has like big bands and they have the smaller bands playing that other room. Okay. I've been there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and for me, it's like one of my favorite venues for a hardcore show. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, to see that show get announced, I was actually pretty stoked. Because I feel like with them, too, like, I'm not sure like what it is, but it seems like they'll like have a bunch of cool stuff there, and then there'll be like a pause, and nothing will happen there, but then,
right.
And then it'll just like boot right back up.
Right.
Yeah, so it's cool to see that show there, too. And my friend's playing a pop-punk band there. I'm pretty sure they're opening that show called Stateside.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. All right. Cool, man. Yeah. Are you going to be rolling up?
Yes. Yeah. Because last time we talked, I couldn't make it out to your other show at that bar.
The Bricks Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to go, but then I looked at my calendar and I was like, I have something scheduled, which is rare to, because like normally nobody wants to do a podcast at night. I don't either, because I want to be doing other stuff, you know. But it just so happens, yeah, like that one in the books was like right at 6 p.m. And I was
right.
I try to be as professional as I can be, like be on time and not just cancel on people.
Right.
Because I hate when people cancel on me. That's like the most annoying thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I gotta, you know, be respectful because they had their time booked. But I was really bummed because just like, yeah, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Mortar Pride.
It's, I'm looking forward to that show. Because and then after that we're gonna play in San Diego.
Oh, where? Is that announced?
So it's the 18th in the Long Road, San Diego, the 19th, and that's going to be, like, by Chicano Park.
Okay.
It's, like, there's, like, a little bar right there. But a bunch of bands are playing. Stripes playing again. Berthold City, Torena. Oh,
dude, that band is amazing.
Yeah, they're badass. The Desmadre, shout out to Desmadre, the homies. Count Time, my homies from Count Time.
Good old Count Time.
Yeah, Count Time, they're playing. So it's a bunch of bands, like a bunch of like IE bands, like 97 Minutes. And
okay, they're popping off right now.
And there's so many. It's just a big lineup. Oh, there's some band called, there's a band called Violencia.
Okay, yeah.
They're playing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to, big lineup, bunch of, Dead Heat's playing. I'm like, we gotta definitely get on this show right here. So we're happy to be on that show.
And you know, with these two shows coming up, like, and with the two new songs being out, like, how are you guys feeling? Is like, you know, are you guys gonna want to, you know, kind of stay this course of just playing a couple shows here and there, or are you guys trying to get more busier?
Yeah, we definitely been wanting to get a lot busier, kind of get the ball rolling, and you know, have people that never saw us or heard our music kind of check us out and all that. So we are planning on playing more shows than what we recently been playing.
Okay. Yeah. And with the two new songs out, which like I mentioned earlier, I think are awesome. Do you guys have plans to, you know, do an EP after that?
Or? Yeah. We're writing.
Oh, okay.
We're writing right now. So, going back to the question from earlier, is that how is the process? It's the process of writing this time around is like, man, it's a lot more difficult to try to bang out some songs, because, you know, I guess we try to be more aware of what we're gonna put out and all that, because we wanted to be not just some shit that we just come up and have it out there.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like, you know, so many years later, like, where do you find inspiration for lyrics for these new songs?
You know what? My music category is like all over the place. So I find myself trying to make up my own lyrics, but I get inspiration off of like, I'll put like an oldie song, like the Manipulator song. I kind of got inspiration off of the OJ's, Backstabbers.
Okay.
And you know, it's like Backstabbers, come back this way. And then like, oh, there's like OJ's are like, you know, they have Backstabbers in their lyrics. So I kind of went off of that And that's what helped me kind of just make my fucking make the way I write my lyrics for that song. But I always go, I always check out like different different music. I kind of just see where I could kind of like pick up something off of that would that I can relate to, and kind of use that to kind of have me brainstorming on what I want to write. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot different than what how the lyric process worked back in the day for me. Yeah, because I guess, you know, back in the days it was always like, it's kind of easy because you always like, you know, you talk about friends betraying you or still being positive and yeah, and all that shit. So it's a whole lot different now.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, obviously with like life experiences, obviously you're older now versus back then. So I'm sure you look at things, you know, from like a different set of eyes versus back then, which is cool because I think it's awesome to be able to have a record and you'll be able to like, you know, read things that you wrote at a very specific age and very specific moment in your life. And, you know, here you are, you know, almost like 18, 19 years later, and to be doing the same thing, but, you know, now we get to see, you know, your growth.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, something that I have to put a lot of thought into. Cause like, I don't want to put out just some like, we're from the hood, you know, it's all good, something like some cheesy shit. I wanted to actually mean something because, you know, I want to have people out there to hear the lyrics and be like, oh, all right, he's making sense, rather than just saying some dumbass shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can respect that because, mm-hmm. like, you know, I feel like I am, like, more attached and feel, like, way more into bands when like I read their lyrics and I feel like, okay, there's like some sort of like personal story behind this, or I can relate. But like, you know, like obviously there's like, you know, stuff that like I listen to, I'm like, cool, like it doesn't make any sense to me, but it just sounds cool, that's fine too. But like I said, like when I listen to bands like, you know, the First Step, Mindset,
right,
bands with just like real powerful, just like meaningful lyrics, I'm just like, okay, that's the shit that right, gets right. me like excited.
Yeah lyrics mean a lot. I mean, especially if you're a person listening to the track and then you listen to the lyric, you're like, oh shit, this motherfucker's really meaning what the fuck he's spitting out there. So that's what I try to go off of when I write lyrics, because I want it to have meaning, and I want somebody to listen to it and be like, all right, I feel this one. He's really saying some shit that probably the person is going through or some shit like that, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to more new music because, you know, like I said, the self-titled, the two new songs, I think, you know, it's a good indicator that you guys still have it, mm-hmm. and has me excited and anticipating more new music from you guys.
Right. Yeah. We're looking forward to that too, and looking forward to having more music out there for people to check out, especially some new shit, because I know we've been playing our old record for so long that even we're kind of like, we're on it.
For sure. Makes sense.
Get some new shit out there.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time today.
Right on, man.
This has been awesome. This is the first of many. You know, we're at right here. I don't want to give the exact location, but we're here in Southern California doing cool shit. Before it goes, or anything else you'd like to say?
I just want to say thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on here, and shout out to Linwood, all the homies. There's too many of you motherfuckers to shout out, so you know who I'm talking about.
All right. Thank you, guys. Be back soon.
Peace.
All right. Cool.
Hell yeah, man.